This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. We are all about optimization. We want to get the most out of our money when we spend it, the most from our cars when we drive them, and the most from services when we subscribe to them. But what about our spiritual lives? In this message entitled Optimizing Your Efficiency, Pastor Aaron shares a formula for organizing your life in such a way that God becomes the optimizer. This message was delivered on October 15th, 2018. Here now is Pastor Aaron.
And we pray this now in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Ushers.
Can we say thank you to Pastor Dennis?
He's so quick, I didn't even say it.
Good morning, New Hope East Hawaii. And Trish, I'm always nervous, so no worry about that. You know, I'm so nervous right now. You guys, I always choose black as our color when I get to speak, because you cannot see me sweating in black, at least not as bad. Oh, and James wasn't kidding. It is hot up here today. So I am sweating. If you see it through, no, please don't be grossed out, okay? Just, you don't have to hug me at the end of service. Just fist bump me or whatever. Speaking of James, you know, last year, sometime, he came up to me and he said, you know, Pastor Aaron, I believe that God is really challenging me, asking me to step it up a little bit, to even get a little bit uncomfortable. So if you have any assignments for me, if God puts anything on your heart, go ahead and challenge me. And my answer will be yes. And I said, shoot, you're up with me on stage singing praise and worship. And so he said, okay. And he came. And he sang for a little bit. And then if you've noticed, I made him sing a little bit more and take lead a little bit more every time. In fact, then he started to do the greeting and the transitions in between. Last week, I told him, hey, bro, give me 5 songs. You're leading next week. And he said, what? I said, you're leading next week. And I told him, how's that for uncomfortable? But he did a great job today. Can we say thank you to him? And he, of course, he knows that there's more uncomfortability coming, right? Well, here we are. So, you know, I looked at the calendar the other day, and we're already in October. Today is October 14th, as I saw up there on the screen. Already October 14th. We are in the fourth quarter of 2018. Let me ask you something. How many of you actually remember the first message that Pastor Scott did this year? I didn't either. I had to go look it up. Let me remind you then. On January 2nd, he did a message called A New Chapter, in which he challenged us to set some goals and make plans for this year. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you actually stuck to those plans? Please bear in mind that I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty or anything like that here. I just want to strongly make the point that so very, very often we get so sidetracked by the things of this world that we even forget what God spoke to us less than a year ago. Now, it's simple for us to come up here and remind you about it and for all of us to get back on track. But here's the real danger of getting too caught up in the things of this world is that it actually drains you. It actually takes away from you, makes you tired. I've been there, and I've done that so many times in my life where I look at the calendar and it says October, and I'm physically, emotionally, and especially spiritually just wiped out. And I sit there wondering how I'm going to make it through Thanksgiving and Christmas. Anybody ever feel like that? Anybody feeling like that right now? Basically, what I'm talking about is that we realize that in this world and the way it is today, it's so easy to get caught up in the hustle and the bustle and drain the fuel tanks of our lives down to empty, to the point that we're not really living at all. You know, even in this thing that we call church, we can become so busy getting involved in everything that it overwhelms us to a degree of emptiness. And it comes down to this question. Is that the way that God meant for us to live? Empty. And if you don't know the answer to that is no. Absolutely not. In fact, in the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus stated his purpose for coming to this earth as this. He said, I came so that they might have life and might have it abundantly. And that's our whole heart behind this morning, that it will indeed help us to live less empty and more abundant lives. So today I get to share with you a few thoughts on optimizing your efficiency. How's that for a title? I used two big words in my title. Optimizing your efficiency. And when I started to meditate on this message, when I began to think about the things that I do when I'm running on empty, I visualized all the times that I have been driving and just so happened to look down at the gas gauge and realize that I was almost out of fuel. You know what I discovered? I found out that 100% of the time, the first thing that I did was panic. And then all these thoughts would race through my mind on what to do next. Not one of them which would accomplish anything. Now, I've only run out of gas one time in my life, just once. And it was many years ago. I was working the evening shift as a troubleshooter for Helco. And I got a call at about 8 o'clock in the evening. And the call was fluctuating voltage. Lights going dim, then bright, then dim again. And this was in Nalehu. Just so happened, I happened to be in Lapu'ahoe at the time. So I pack it up, and I start booking it down south. Now, let me tell you what I was driving. The troubleshooter truck at that time was a 97 Chevy 4x4, 1500 series. 454 cubic inch V8 under the hood. That thing had two speeds, zero and serious man truck. And guess which speed I was using? So little after 9, I make it to Nalehu. And sure enough, all the streetlights are fluctuating voltage. But I go through the town, I check just about every pole, cannot find anything wrong. Then I get another call from dispatch, no power on South Point Road. So I book it over there, get to South Point Road, sure thing, no power. Shine my lights on everything that I could think of that would be wrong there. Can't find the problem. Then another call, no power in Ocean View. So I go full speed all the way to Ocean View, all the way to the end of our district where there's a switch and everything's open. That has to be the start of where the problem could be. Nothing. Can't find anything. Then finally I get the call. And there's a blown fuse inside of the substation, and it's on fire. So now I'm even panicking way more. Turn around, and I'm not going to tell you the speed I was going, but it was three digits. And I'm making it back to the Nalehu substation. I get to just about back to South Point Road, and I see this, from the corner of my eye, I see this light on the dashboard coming on, just came on. And I look down, and it's my low fuel light. So what do? I panic. Now, you know, out in South Point, that's the last place you want to get stuck out there. No lights, everything dark, and you've heard all the stories about out there. So I floor it even more. And I take off, and I'm thinking, I got to get back to Nalehu gas station. Now, if you know anything about, it's about 2 a.m. in the morning right now. And if you know anything about the Kau'u district, everything shuts down at 8 o'clock. So I'm flying down the road, and right about Waiohinu, truck dies out on me. And I got to pull over on the side. And embarrassingly, I got to call my boss and tell him when they send the crew out, send them with some gas cans full of gas for me. To make a long story short, I ran out of gas. First time in my life, I ran out of fuel. And you know what I learned from that? I learned that panic accomplishes nothing. It's always the first thing most of us do when that little warning light comes on, but it doesn't accomplish a thing. Even in the vehicle of our lives, when we realize that there's just not enough time or not enough energy or not enough resources to do what we feel we need to get done, more often than not, we panic. And we end up stomping hard on the gas pedal, accomplishing nothing aside from draining what's left in the tank. 2 years later, the Helco department that I was working for invested in this state-of-the-art commercial boom truck. And compared to everything else that we had at the time, that thing was just wonderful. I mean, huge tires came up to my chest. 13 feet 4 inches to the top of the booms. 20 tons unloaded. But had a turbocharged diesel engine that could take a good incline in fourth gear. A magnetic resonance braking system that would slow the truck down going downhill twice as fast and five times safer than anything else we had. And that's not even the best part. You know what the best part about that truck was? The bugger had AC. Yeah. Air conditioning. This thing wasn't a work truck. This thing was a luxury vehicle, a magnanimous luxury vehicle. Everybody would fight to drive that truck. Now, on the driving council of this truck was one tiny, tiny button that I think nobody ever used, because on that button it said this word. Economy. And the purpose of that button was this. It was to optimize efficiency. One tiny little button to optimize the efficiency of this 40,000-pound vehicle. And you know how it did that? Did it by shutting down all of the luxury components, even the AC. Now you know why nobody ever used that. Hitting that one little button would render all of the extra systems useless, bringing the vehicle to a place that it's running solely on the systems that are vital to its operation, thereby maximizing fuel efficiency. Now, let me be real honest with you. I never did use that economy feature either. But I'll say this. I was glad that it was there. Because if I ever looked down at the fuel gauge and saw that the truck was running close to empty, I would know what to do. Now listen to this, and I'll be the first one to attest to this. More often than not, in our lives, we are operating on luxury systems. What I mean by this is that more often than not, we're doing a number of things, perhaps ministry, perhaps activities, perhaps work, number of things that we do not need to do. And these things take a lot out of our tank. And then we wonder why that low fuel light keeps coming on. Now, I'm not saying that doing these things are wrong. I'm not saying that doing these things are evil. What I am saying is that they are not vital to the effective operations of our lives. And if you're running on empty, it would be very wise to shut them down as soon as possible. Truth be told, I believe that we can all agree on the fact that there's a lot going on in our lives, a whole lot of stuff that we do that we really don't need to be doing. And whether we like it or not, it takes a lot out of our tank, especially in this culture that we've become so accustomed to, where so-and-so is doing this, so I want to go do it too. Where so-and-so just got that thing, so I want one too. This culture throws at us all kinds of luxuries. But what they don't tell us is that to obtain these luxuries and to upkeep them requires something from the tank. And more often than not, the tanks of our lives run dry because we hold on to them. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if we had an economy button in our lives? Where when we come to the realization that we're almost on empty and we're still expending too much energy, we can engage it. And automatically, it shuts all the non-essentials down. And we're running on optimal efficiency. Wouldn't that be great? Well, I'm here to tell you today that you do. You actually do have an economy button. You have a mechanism as such. You see, God, in his infinite wisdom, knew that we would be just like this, that we would be put up on our plates more than we could handle. So what did he do? He installed a button in us that would help us run more efficiently by shutting down the things that we don't really need. Now, the only difference is that this button doesn't say the word economy on it. It actually says this word. C-H-O-I-C-E. Choice. Choice is the mechanism that God gave us for optimal efficiency, that we get to choose the things that we're going to do. Choose which burdens we'll carry and which ones we'll drop. Choose what we need to do and what we don't. Optimizing how efficiently we operate is all about choice. One of my friends, one of whom I'd always talk to about the challenges going on in my life, he would always tell me this. He would say, choose your battles well. And whether I talked to him about my finances, my family, work, ministry, he never gave me a you should do this answer. But somewhere in the conversation, he would always say, Aaron, choose your battles well. And one day I figured it out. What he was saying is, do what's important. Do what will be most optimal in your life. The other things, don't even fight with them. That's some of the best advice I have ever gotten. Now, optimizing how efficiently we live and operate is all about choice. And God designed us with that in mind. Let me show you something from the heart of a man who understood how God designed us. And this comes straight out of the journal of King David. Psalm 139:14, he writes this. He says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Now, this comes out of the New International Version, but I want you to look at how it's also written in the New Living Testament, where he says, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. I want you to do something right now. I want you to turn to the person on your right and tell them this. Tell them, you are wonderful. Okay, now turn to the person on your left and say, you're marvelous, baby. And that's absolutely right. Next time you're feeling like you're anything less than a child of God, you look in the mirror and realize that you are wonderful and you are marvelous. You know why? Because you've been dynamically designed, specifically handcrafted by the Master, each and every one of us. And here's an even more wonderful fact, that when he made you, he custom built you. That means that you are an exclusive model. When God made you, he threw away the mold. You're an instant classic. There's never been, nor ever will be again, another you. Now, what that also means is that you have special specifications that cause you to run at optimal efficiency. It means that what works for you necessarily won't work for me, and vice versa. Over the last 48 years, I've been discovering how God designed me to operate. And if I want to do so at an optimal efficiency, then there are a few things that I need to know. And the first of which is, I need to know my vehicle, me, well. Know my vehicle well. In 1 Corinthians 15:10, the Apostle Paul writes this, and by the way, if you don't know already, this is my favorite scripture in the whole Bible. He writes, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect." By the grace of God, I am what I am. And when I learn to accept that, that's when I can begin to learn to be effective. You know, I came to the realization long time ago that I'm not Chaplain Frank Castagnetti, who's pretty much a jet fuel powered rocket rail. And he can go zooming down the track at 220 miles an hour. You watch him. He goes from worship to announcements to the message, and then he goes down to the racetrack all in one day. Not to mention looking oh so pretty doing it all. I'm not even Pastor Scott, who's a Toyota Tacoma. So useful. He's so useful in doing so many things. He can carry loads way bigger than himself, tow you out of the ditch when you get stuck. And when he locks his hubs and shifts it into four low, look out. Now, if I try to live like them, racing around at breakneck speed or trying to do a lot of things, I go empty real quick. Me, I'm more like my wife's car, an FJ Cruiser. Notice the word cruiser. Little bit on the heavy side, but solid. I got to take my turns real easy. I don't go flying down the highway ever anymore. I go at a steady pace, not trying to do too many things at once. I'll accomplish things smoothly, safely, and I do them in incredible fashion. That's how God designed me. And he designed me that way. You know why? So that I would compliment Pastor Scott and Chaplain Frank in the mission that he has for us. Together with all of our different specifications, all for his, effectively, for his glory. But that can only happen when I'm operating at optimal efficiency. And the same goes true for you. Whether you're a Dodge Ram or a Hummer or a Mini Cooper, as much as we are all a part of this team, called to New Hope East Hawaii, so are you. And what you bring to the highway is no less important than what we do. But you need to know your vehicle and the way that God designed you for optimal efficiency. Repeat this after me. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am wonderful. I am marvelous. And I will choose to love it. Hit the choice button, folks, and start to embrace who you are. Stop trying to be LeBron James or Jennifer Lopez or even Wayne Cordero. You weren't designed like that. It'll drain you real fast. You and I need to be who God made us to be. And we need to choose to be the most optimal us that we can be. So we need to know ourselves. And one of the things that I need to know about myself is what fills me. You know, Frank might be into high-octane fuel, Pastor Scott into non-ethyl unleaded, but not me. The things that fill them aren't necessarily what gets my motor running. In your notes on the A, got some homework for you. Five empty slots. And what I want you to do with those five slots is to fill in those blanks with the things you know that fills you up. And be real honest, okay? Be real honest. Nobody else is going to see this except you and then me when I ask you sometime next week. But nobody's going to see this but you and God. So be real honest. Now, I know you're not going to be able to fill them all out right now, so make sure you take them home. But sometime today, fill out all five, okay? Let me just show you, and for time constraints, I've only got three. These are my three fillers. I love healthy competition. My kids don't even want to play with me anymore. I need my daily devotions, my time with God. And then, I don't know if you can see this one, but this one's really important too. Something that fills me, Carlin, when she's happy. Now, in the same manner, You have 5 more slots there in B. And I want you to fill in, again, being very honest, what drains me. Let me show you my top 3. These are the things that drain me. Complaining. Now, counseling is something that as a pastor I get to do, and I'll do it. But after I do any counseling, because a lot of times counseling does come with number one, complaining. Okay? So it does drain me. So after that, I gotta be wise and go and get filled again. Okay? And then Carlin, when she's unhappy. That's a big drain. Now, when you're done filling those blanks, and if you've been honest with yourself, you're going to have before you a good part of your choice activation switch. So when you find yourself running on empty, here are 5 things that you can switch off in your life. And not only that, here's the 5 fueling stations that you can go to. That choice is up to you. Okay, whatever you choose to do, you got to realize this. That you have the most influence on how efficiently you run. Now, I want you to do one more thing with those completed lists. If you're married, share it with your spouse. Let them see it, because you know who has the second most influence? They do. And you know who else will be affected by your effectiveness or emptiness most directly? They will. By sharing it with each other, and not using it against each other, no, okay? By sharing it with each other, you become a partnership in optimizing efficiency. Now, another part of becoming optimally efficient in my life is number 2, know what God is asking me to do. Know what God is asking me to do. Now, if I were to word it in such a way that it pertained to fuel efficiency, I would say it as this: knowing my destination. Because if I know where I'm going, then I can begin to plan the most effective way to get there. Show of hands, how many of you believe that God has a plan for your life? Very good. You put your hands down. Jeremiah 29:11 says this. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now let me ask you again. How many of you believe that God has a plan for you? Not only does he have a plan, but his plan for you is good. It's a plan for optimal efficiency in your life. Now the question becomes, do you know the plan that God has for you? And if the answer for that question is no, then you've already figured out the reason why you're running on empty all the time. Because you haven't begun to pursue that which you were designed to do in the first place. Previously, I mentioned that one of the things that really fills me is my daily devotions. You know why? Because that's where God lays out his plan for me, little by little, every single day. That's where I receive my marching orders for the day, my sense of direction. And you know how I know? Because I ask him. When I miss those times, when I miss my daily devotions, and you can ask Carlin, I'm like a chicken without a head, running off in any direction, all over the place, accomplishing nothing but getting drained. There's just something about living with godly purpose every single day, which brings me to that place of efficiency. And that's really the whole start of living an optimal life, is having a relationship with the Master Creator, where he tells you the plan. And it's from there that I can start to map out the direction that I'm going to take. From that point that I can look to set forward toward doing what is important. And I can ask myself, what then are my priorities? Now, with the direction that God has given me, what are the things that I'll be using my fuel on? Because one of the biggest efficiency killers is operating out of order. It's kind of like saying, right after this service, I'm going to visit my friend in Volcano, but I'm going to do so via Kailua Kona. That would be dumb. That'll really drain my tank. Yet, many times in my endeavors in life, I can actually do the equivalent of that because I do things according to what's of lesser importance first. And by the time I get to the things of higher priority, I'm drained. Okay, interaction time again. You see the five lines below. In those lines, fill in, according to importance, the top five priorities in your life. Again, be honest and make sure you take into consideration the things that we've already talked about. Here's mine. And mine are based on the things that, or the way that God designed me. Okay? We should all have this for number one. If you don't have number one, the same as mine, you're going to be drained all of your life. Okay? Now, if you get number two in yours, something is wrong. But mine goes God, Carlin, CJ and AJ, my kids, my parents, and then my jobs that I get to do with Hawaii Earth Products and here with you in New Hope East Hawaii. Now, choice time again. Because here's what we're going to do with this list. Everything that we choose to do, everything that we choose to do, especially when we're running on empty, we get to choose according to these priorities. Long time ago, my dad told me this. He said, you know, no matter what you do, no matter what you do, you're going to cheat somebody or something. Well, here's my cheat list. And choosing to cheat according to this list will maximize my efficiency because I will do what's important first. Now, I may end up not doing a whole lot of stuff, but that's okay, because what I do get to do, I get to do well. Now finally, one last question to ask myself as I consider what God is asking me to do. And that's B, what is my assignment? What is my assignment? What is the one thing in this life that if I don't accomplish, I'll regret for all of eternity? Ask yourself that same question. Take everything that we've talked about today, who I am, how I'm designed, what fills me, what drains me, what are my priorities, and come to this conclusion that God designed us for a purpose. And know this, that God doesn't make mistakes. God makes miracles. He has an assignment for each and every one of us, one that we are perfectly designed to accomplish. But what is it? You want me to tell you what yours is? If you want me to tell you what yours is, your divine assignment, come see me after service, $50 per. No. Let me tell you what your assignment is. I don't have a clue. I don't know. Neither does Pastor Scott or any of the other pastors. You know why we don't know? Because God will not tell us your assignment. He'll only tell you your assignment. You'd be amazed at how many counseling appointments I've been a part of where people ask me this exact question, expecting me to know the answer. You know, I'm sure that rings true for every pastor. Well, I'll save you the trouble of a visit. We don't know. You've heard the term, it's for me to know and for you to find out. Not in this case, it's for you to know and for you to find out. This much I can tell you, that the number one assignment of this church is to reach the people of this town with a message of salvation. That's what we are assigned to do. That's why a major part of our resources will stay right here. And because you're here today, that there's an excellent possibility that your assignment may revolve around that as well. Maybe, okay? Maybe not. But I can give you this guarantee that you want to know what your assignment is and start to focus your resources on accomplishing that assignment before you leave this earth. Or this is something, a nagging feeling of emptiness that will haunt you for all of eternity. It's also equally important to realize that once you've discovered what your assignment is, that you stick to it. Because, and again, and I'll be the first to attest to this, it's so easy to get mixed up in somebody else's assignment and begin to drain your tank by being sidetracked by what they are called to do. I have this friend. His name is Paul. And Paul is one of the most optimally efficient people I know in all of history. If you're not familiar with him, Paul was a church planter. And I know of at least 7 churches that he started. And we're not talking about small churches. We're talking about thousands in every church. Paul also wrote 13 books, all found in the Bible. And the truly amazing thing about Paul was that he did it as a prisoner. You want to know his story? You can go find out and read in the book of Acts. But let me tell you why this guy was so effective. It was because he knew his assignment and he stuck to it. In the book of Acts 16, verses 6 and 7, it tells us that now when Paul and his gang, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they had tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Now, the reason why I put this in here is was in my daily devotions one day when I came across this. And I looked at this, and you know what Paul did when the Holy Spirit didn't permit them to go to these places? Well, first thing I thought was, you know, Paul was awesome. Paul was an awesome man of God. He planted churches. He did everything, and he did everything well. He could have gone anywhere and have been successful. But you know what he did? He listened to God, and he didn't go to these places. He didn't need a reason. All he needed to know was God was not placing this as his assignment. And he stuck to his assignment. And Paul is one of the heroes that the church was built on today. You know, at the end of the age, when you stand before God, he's not going to ask you about the car that you drove. He's not going to ask you about the house that you built. He's not going to ask you how much money you made or how revered you were by others. You know what he'll ask you? He'll ask you, did you do what I asked you to do? That's what he'll ask you. Were you efficient, optimally efficient, in the life that I gave you? Now, if you haven't gotten it yet, here's the bottom line for today. That optimal efficiency means becoming everything God created me to be. Optimal efficiency means becoming everything God created me to be. How many of you want to be optimally efficient in this life? How many of you want to complete the assignment and complete it well, the one that God gave to you? How many of you want to live in such a way? Stand before the Almighty God when you get to eternity and hear him say, well done, good and faithful. Amen. Pastor Scott. Thank you, sir.
You, Pastor Aaron, what is God asking you to do? What is your assignment? Because you cannot do my assignment, you just burn out. If I tried to do the assignment of another pastor, then it would not work for me. But what is God asking you to do? Think about that during the week. And if he's asking you to step up and serve in your home church, then let me know. We'll find a place for you because we have many openings. And it's all voluntary, so you're welcome to come and go. But what is God asking you to do? Man, and you know, we get to serve God in our very own unique and special way. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up so they can sweat some more. You know, if you want to lose weight, man, it's like you want to lose water weight. You know, you don't have to sing. You can just stand up here and let everybody look at you. That's like, woo. But what a wonderful message. Thank you so much, Pastor Aaron. You know, one of the things that drained me is shopping. And one of the things that fill my wife is shopping. So what I have to do is I have to give her my credit card and go someplace else. Keeps her happy, keeps me filled, man. Oh, it's difficult, but it's worth it. Amen? Would you all stand and join us as we sing?
Can I share something?
Oh, yeah.
I want to describe myself with my car. I have an old 93 Chevy truck, but everything works perfect, okay? Even though it's old. But the only thing that is not working is the gas gauge, okay? So it's still perfect because I keep it filled, so it's perfect. So I suggest that you guys break you guys' gas gauges so that you guys can be filled all the time.
Yeah. You make me want to be like you. Your holiness I will pursue. I want the heart of Jesus.
You've been listening to Pastor Aaron Pacheco of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.